We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Are you kidding me? Are you a college radio station? Unfortunately, it was completely unintelligible garble on the radio.
Howard Simon.
Aliens! Aliens are interrupting. Pick the Bills. We're being hacked by the Russians. Oh, my God. Run.
Jeremy White.
I'll simply grind up my chips and liquefy them and then put them on top of other chips.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy Football Monday, everybody. Yeah, it's still a Football Monday. We get to assess what Sunday was like and how it all impacted the Bills and the playoffs and the standings. And as Jeremy pointed out, the Bills have the second-best record in the American Football Conference. Only one team has fewer losses in the AFC than the Bills. Actually, they have no losses. The New England Patriots. Good morning.
Morning.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
I got to admit something right off the top. I took a delightful nap yesterday and woke up around the start of the third quarter of the 1 o'clock games.
Yeah.
Then I watched the rest of football the rest of the day. Little Red Zone channel. Watched intently the Seattle-Cleveland game.
What'd you think?
I think the Browns have issues.
Yeah.
And I think the Browns coach is probably not really good at being a head coach.
And their defense might be their biggest issue.
I was surprised they gave up as many as they did to Seattle.
Then again, Seattle's good.
Yeah.
Seattle's good.
Russell Wilson is...
He's good.
In the MVP discussion. He's got 14 touchdowns, no picks. I was surprised they gave up that many points. If you told me the Browns were scoring, what they ended up with? 28. I would have told you they would have won the football game.
Right.
And they had some self-inflicted errors. They had some interceptions by Mayfield, some passes off of players.
He's got 12 picks, and I think half of them have gone off of his own teammates' hands.
Yeah, I know at least a couple. I think the last one should have been caught by Hilliard. Off his hands.
In the last 2 weeks, he's had an interception go right off of a player. It happened against San Francisco.
Yeah.
It happened the week before, maybe?
Okay.
But he's got 12 picks, which leads the league.
Yeah.
And their offense is, it puts up points, but their defense gets shredded.
He finally got Beckham, had a
they
big
did.
Day.
They
had
did.
100, over, I think he had over 100 yards yesterday.
And the schedule's not all that nice to them. Imagine, can you think of a tougher three-game stretch than San Francisco, Seattle, New England?
Yeah, that's San Francisco, by the way.
5-0.
When did their defense become really good?
Maybe when they got Nick Bosa as the final piece there.
They looked great yesterday. Their defensive line was outstanding yesterday.
Yeah.
They're really good. They could be 8-0 if you look at their schedule.
So the Browns are
2-4. Yep.
The Steelers are 2-4.
The Titans are 2-4.
The Browns are 2-4, and still say they can still get to 10-6, so be careful.
Yeah.
Because they won't be playing Seattle every week. Houston looks better than Houston's ever looked.
Houston's good because
Deshaun Watson.
And when they protect Deshaun Watson, he's very good. And the last two games, he has not been sacked at all, which is significant because I think through the first four games, he might have been on pace for like 70 sacks. When he can have some time, he's extremely talented, and he's multi-purpose, and he's a really good passer, and he's got really good weapons too, and their defense is good. You kind of forget about that. So Houston's very good. I was a little surprised, not stunned, that they won in Kansas City. Kansas City's defense still isn't good, so if they don't score 30-plus points, you got a good chance of beating the Chiefs.
Yeah, and the Chiefs don't look like the Chiefs of last year, at least.
Yep.
Tyreek Hill back, so maybe once that starts to gel, they get back to where they were.
Yep.
But Mahomes, you know, he's been hurt. His ankle injury might be a lingering issue. He threw his first pick of the year yesterday. But, you know, the Chiefs last year were an unstoppable force, and this year Mahomes, from a production standpoint, the last 3 weeks, it's been down a bit.
Yeah, well.
So, you know, they can't necessarily keep up with their bad defense. That might be what it is. You know, I saw someone tweet something about the Patriots, like, what offense can't this defense stop? And that, to me, is part of the story. You know, I'm someone that's all about offense, offense, offense. The major dynamic offenses that we saw, Rams, Chiefs, those are the two big ones. They're both sputtering a little bit.
Yeah.
And we're seeing great defenses take a little bit of, the momentum league-wide, I guess you would say. But great defense is starting to show up again.
Goff threw for 78 yards yesterday. I mean, he just he was under a lot of pressure. Their offensive line, they're down a couple starters, and San Francisco just dominated them. It was watching some of the defense, and then I watched the Steelers first half of Steelers Chargers last night, and the Steelers defense was toying with the Chargers offense. But yeah, it was interesting watching some of the games yesterday. I mean, I'm watching it like everybody else is, with an impact on the standings and who am I rooting for and all that. And things went okay for the Bills yesterday. I mean, getting Cleveland a fourth loss is good.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee's got four losses. The Chargers have four losses. So there are a whole bunch of teams that are three games back of the Bills in the loss column.
I have a confession about the standings. I'm not even going to watch them.
Oh, I'm watching them all
not
the time.
Not even going to watch them. The Bills
I can't stop thinking about them.
Why? What's the race for? The only race is the division.
Well, the race is to make the playoffs. The race is to make the playoffs until they clinch it.
And they're so far ahead.
The race is to make the playoffs until they clinch it. You know me. Look,
I know.
I'm all with looking forward. And yeah, I think they're in good. Yes, I believe they'll be in the playoffs.
But it almost looks like
until they clinch it.
It looks like it'll be a walk. Now
you're making me nervous.
Look, wait a minute. Last week you said they're definitely making it.
They are making it.
But seriously, I find myself thinking.
They're in really good shape.
I find myself thinking. Boy, it's really disappointing that so many of these games are going to be pushovers. Like this week against Miami.
I'm not disappointed at all.
Okay.
I really don't need the stress. No, I thought about like when the Jets are beating Dallas and you're thinking, uh-oh, hey, Darnold looked really good, by the way, yesterday. And now you might be like, uh-oh, the Jets are, yeah, but they're 1-4. The Bills are 3 up in the loss column.
But they
have Miami and Washington in two of the next three games.
So the Jets might not be a joke. They might not be a joke. And maybe next year we talk about the Jets because they don't get off to that terrible start and
have mono. Well, that's the thing. I mean, the stuff, look, I'm not a fan of Adam Gase and all that, but I mean, the last three games to evaluate Gase's play calling was ridiculous because he's doing it with mostly a third string quarterback who shouldn't be playing in the NFL. So, you know, Darnold obviously makes that team better. But, I think about the standings all the time. I still worry about everything until the Bills clinch a spot. I worry about everybody behind them. The nice thing is, as I'm watching yesterday, and whoever's winning, whoever's losing, I'm constantly thinking about their record. I know the Bills should beat Miami, and they should beat Washington. And then Philadelphia, who knows? The Eagles' defense is having problems. They're not good in terms of pass defense. Kirk Cousins and Stephon Diggs had a field day yesterday against Philadelphia, but I know. I'm very confident the Bills are at least winning two of the three games on this homestand and should be no worse than 6-2 at the midpoint of the schedule, which would still leave them at least two games in front in the loss column over half of the American Football Conference. So they're in very good shape. Yes, I believe they're making the playoffs. I just don't want to mess with the football gods too much.
Well, I'm going to put this up as a Twitter poll. Which Bills race are you really keying in on? And for me, by keying in on, people wonder. We'll probably ask a follow-up. What does that mean? I don't think they're going to win the division. But I think that's...
Well, that's the only other race you'd be talking
about. No, but how do I want to say this? I think that's more dramatic than the wild card right now. Like, the wild card to me feels like 80% chance they'll make it. The division feels like 10%, 20%. Mm-hmm. So less likely, but more dramatic. Because you watch this... You know, as you look at Houston and Kansas City last night, the Patriots still have not played a good offense, right? Who have they played that's good on offense? They played the Steelers in week one.
No, they've played teams that are combined like, whatever, one or two.
And they have to play Houston, and they have to play Kansas City. And watching those two teams yesterday, sure, you've got Bill Belichick and what he does and what that team does, but they've got a stretch of six games where if they go 4-2 – all of a sudden, that might be all you need to get that game against the Patriots in December to mean something. So it's not to say that I'm not paying much attention to who beat who, just because, I mean, at this point, everybody is so far back. And if the Bills take care of business in the next 4 weeks, 5 weeks, they're going to be tough to catch.
Yeah.
They're going to be tough to catch with two games still against Miami, which are basically free wins.
Talk to me after the homestand.
Okay. If they go 3-0.
They should go 2-1 at the very least.
At least 2-1.
If they don't go 2-1, I'll be very unhappy. I was going to say it's disastrous, but of course it isn't. They could still be 5-3 at the midpoint and still ahead of most teams in the AFC. They should go at least 2-1. Talk to me after the homestand going into Cleveland. We'll see what kind of shape they're in. But everything is falling extremely well for them in the conference. I mean, right now, if you look at it, you take out the division winners. The only other teams close are Oakland and Indianapolis, and they're both 3-2. So, really, it's not like you have six teams going after two spots. Right now, you have three teams going after two spots.
Just like we all drew it up, too, right? The Raiders, the Andrew Luckless Colts, and the Bills.
Right. Yeah, what happened to Cleveland? What happened to Jacksonville? What happened to the Steelers? What happened to the Chargers? Maybe the Titans. But, I mean, the teams that you thought would be in the mix are not in the mix. Not only are they not in the mix, they're three behind the Bills in the loss column, which is outstanding. I mean, think about that. We're in mid-October, and there are teams you factored into the playoff race that are three games behind the Bills in the loss column. And two of the next three games are against Miami, which if Miami scores a touchdown in the game Sunday, I will be surprised.
I will be shocked.
They are that bad.
Yes, they are.
And then Washington 2 weeks from now, who again, how do the Redskins put up points against this defense? So everything's going extremely well.
I feel bad for Fitz if he has to play.
I feel bad for Rosen.
I feel bad for Rosen.
Anybody who plays quarterback on that team.
Yes,
they're terrible.
They are horrid.
Rosen got pulled from the game yesterday. He might have been happy about it. He completed 15 passes for like 85 yards. He was picked twice and sacked five times. And then Fitz came in and he rallies him to potentially a game-tying touchdown and they missed the two-point play. But that offense is pathetic. I mean, it is disgustingly bad.
Yep.
I mean, if you're struggling against a winless Washington team to do anything offensively, it's not often the Bills are 16.5-point favorites against anybody.
I bet them to cover.
Yeah.
Josh Allen lights up the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Two games against them in his career. He's been very good, especially the last one they played. The over-under is 40. I went about the over. I think the Bills will
It'd
put
be
up
mostly Buffalo,
42.
Like, yeah.
Maybe thinking 42-0 is a little bit bold, but because we're sitting here saying the Dolphins can't score. But I will be shocked if the Dolphins score. And Rosen will play the first two quarters.
And they'll get him out.
And then
Fitz will go in,
and Fitz will put up some garbage time, and the Bills will win 42-10, and we can say, oh, it was nice to see Fitz out there.
Yeah, you know, yeah, right.
I feel like I've already seen the game play out in its entirety. It's going to be a disaster for the Dolphins.
That's good. I'll take it. I'm very happy about that game coming out of the box.
We've seen teams rebuild. We've never seen something like what the Dolphins
are
doing.
This is awful.
What they have torn down and attempted to do.
Well, they've let better players go, whether it's trade or free agency over the years. And then, you know, even like trading a guy like Minka Fitzpatrick and walking away, trading
Laramie Tunsil.
I mean,
Kenny Stills.
He's helped solidify the Houston offensive line. And it's just, you know, I was going to say what it's like to be a Dolphins fan, but we've lived this with the hockey team.
Yep.
So I know what it's like to be a Dolphins fan. And it's miserable, but you hope that your team gets it right, gets their quarterback, and turns the thing around. In the meantime, thankfully, they're on the schedule. I'm very happy with this homestand starting off with Miami because, knock on wood, the Bills just take care of business. Just show up, be focused all week, and, do the old don't look past this game, take them one game at a time, all the stuff that McDermott's going to talk about this week, and they should not have any problems going to 6-1, or 5-1. And then bring in the Eagles. So yes,
the Eagles.
Very good.
If you beat Carson Wentz and the Eagles.
If you beat you're now going where you are this morning. If you beat Carson Wentz and the Eagles, I'm expecting a win over Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're talking about 7-1, and now you're not thinking about the wild card.
No.
Now you're thinking about the Patriots are getting into their crazy 6-game stretch. We start talking about the division being in play for the Bills at that point.
Yeah, the only other race for me to watch, there's the division, the wild card. Then there's when will the Bills be taken a little more seriously?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean their defense. I mean their offense. I'd like in these next 3 weeks for the offense to look good enough that this team is talked about not as a plucky upstart with a good defense, but as a good team.
No,
and I think that's possible.
But it's not there yet because the offense doesn't score as much as it needs to
score. But I think it's possible that could happen in the next 3-4 weeks. The pass defenses they play against Miami, Washington, Philly, even Baltimore coming down the pipe, are much weaker.
Yeah.
So you should have... You should have at least one good day in here. I wouldn't be surprised if Allen goes for 300 and finally breaks that drought against the Dolphins. They have to come out throwing, but I bet they do. They are a pass heavy team on early downs, at least to this point in the season. They've trusted Allen on a level that they didn't last year, And their defense against this Miami team, I mean, book three turnovers.
Yeah.
I know this is a prime example for that's why they play the games or they don't play the games on paper. But, man, Sunday is going to be a rock show.
This is there was an interesting article. You talk about them, you know, evolving in the pass offense. Mark Gunn had an interesting piece in the news yesterday, and he got some stats from Sharp Football. The Bills are passing on first down when the game was within
score. Second most?
Third most in the league.
Behind Kansas City?
Behind, I had it here. Hang on, I got to find it. 57% of the time, they're passing on first down, Kansas City and Cincinnati.
There you go.
First down with a score within one score, 57%. Last year, it was 40% in that similar situation. Now, so they're passing more overall. They're 11th in the league in pass attempts, and they finished in the bottom four each of the last 4 years. So they're passing more, which you wouldn't be surprised to know that. But you might be stunned to know that they're passing on first down in a one-score game, that they're using the pass to set the offense up.
Well, is it any surprise that the offense, even though they're not scoring points, they're moving the ball like they haven't ever, maybe in how many years? 4 years?
Yeah.
You know, as we talk about, they used to finish bottom four in pass attempts. Now they're just deciding to pass it more, and lo and behold, they're better. You know, their offense, it's got steps to go, but...
Yeah. But it's funny. One of the many observations I had yesterday, the 300-yard passing game, is so stuck in my head right now. Kyler Murray passed for over 300 yards yesterday. So three times in six games, he's passed for over 300 yards. And the Bills have gone 38 games without one. And Darnold comes back from mono, 338 against the Dallas Cowboys yesterday. So I need to see the passing offense have a big day. It's got to go. Josh went from like 200 yards a game to 250. Okay, now I'd like to see you go another step further. You know, can you have the occasional 300-yard game with three touchdown passes and really become an offense that does more, you know, just an offense that can win games? I do. I need it to get to another level. I need it to be more explosive. Maybe Brandon Bean is thinking about trading for a wide receiver by the deadline. Who knows? But I do need the offense to take another step and start scoring more than 20 points a game on a regular basis. You really want to start thinking about, if you want to start thinking about the division, look at that instead of the wild card. If you feel that they'll be in good enough shape that you now start thinking about the division, well, you got to start scoring more points. You got to have an offense that can be better than, you know, a shade under 20 a game, whatever it's doing right now.
Jay tweets in about division or wild card. Which one are you keying in on? The Jets have a cakewalk after New England. They could run the table until they get to the Bills game. Sounds crazy, but look at their schedule. You almost want New England to beat the Jets next week, get a playoff spot locked in, and then hope you get a shot at the division after that. The Jets after New England, it's what, like Jacksonville?
Yeah, I got a.
There's a bunch of teams.
They play the Giants. They play the Dolphins.
It's the Bills' schedule. There's
Washington.
One difference.
Yeah,
but it's the Bills. There are two differences because of the crossover in second versus third place, right? But yeah, they've got Cleveland's the same. That's the only team I'll also say that about. Cleveland has the Patriots and the Bills left, and nobody else.
Jets play after New England. They go. I mean, they can lose at Jacksonville. I mean, you know, New Orleans had a tough time yesterday at Jacksonville, but they go at Jacksonville. At Miami, home Giants, at Washington, the next four games after New England. So I don't think they'll beat New England at home. If somehow they do and they're 2-4, yeah, I mean, they could get to over. In theory, they could run the table and be 6-4. Okay, let's say they do that. They're still two or three games behind the Bills in the loss column, and they're down the head-to-head tiebreaker edge. I mean, it's that much of a cushion.
Week 17.
The game here, right? Yeah. No, I don't think the Jets are in play in that at that point.
I did say to you, the only thing I wanted from this season to be a successful season was a meaningful Week 17 game against the Jets. And here we are. I'm afraid it won't be meaningful because the Bills will already be in.
Yeah, well, I hope so. I mean, you know, I'm going to go for, you know, clinching a playoff spot earlier in December is okay by me. And then, you know, of course, there's no home field with a wild card. So it would just be a matter of whether or not. Yeah, the Jets schedule is really soft. Yeah. After Oakland, Cincinnati, Miami, their toughest games left are here and at Baltimore on Thursday night or in December, December 12th. Outside of that, it is a really soft schedule for the Jets. I don't think they'll do enough to get back over the Bills into the wild card spot. It's a big gap to cover.
This is what I mean. That's why I said.
I've kind of
shifted to the other race.
The nice thing with, like, you bring up the point on Cleveland's schedule and whoever texted this on the Jets, these are all valid points. You know, the Browns are approaching the softer part of their schedule. The Jets have a soft schedule. But The good news is the Bills have a three-game cushion right now, and it's not like the Bills' schedule is that daunting. You'd look at the Bills' schedule now, and the tougher games left are Baltimore. Now, Baltimore had Lamar Jackson had a big day yesterday. I look at Philadelphia as one of the games I think I've usually had them losing. Well, the Eagles are having problems. They just gave up 38 yesterday, and Jim Schwartz's defense is really struggling. They're banged up. They've got issues in the secondary. So as much as you say, hey, guys, look at the Jets schedule, look at the Browns schedule, we still also need to continue looking at the Bills schedule. How many games on paper do you look at the rest of the way and go, oof, that's a tough one? Baltimore? I mean, Denver's defense looked good yesterday, but it's a home game against Joe Flacco. You should win that game.
This is why we have you pick the Bills every week. Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I don't. I was really impressed with their running game, and their defense was very good last night.
Yeah, they're not back, but maybe they're maybe back in the mix. One thing about the Chargers that you can kind of see coming is that they give up pressure, a lot of pressure on Rivers. I remember seeing a stat on this after their first 2 weeks, which was the Chargers are a prime candidate to have some funky losses, because any team that can get pressure on Rivers, and a lot of teams can get pressure on the Chargers, is going to stand a chance. And the Steelers, of course, I mean, that defense all of a sudden looked like a great playmaking defense with T.J. Watt and Minka Fitzpatrick and a couple other guys in there that are great.
They were swallowing up Chargers running backs. I mean, Melvin Gordon, Austin Eckler had no place to run last night and put a lot of pressure on Rivers. They couldn't get the passing game going because the Steelers defensive line was dominating the Chargers offensive line. It was very uncomfortable for Rivers and that offense in the first half, and they were pretty much, for the second straight week, the Chargers were pretty much out of the game at halftime. That's another team that you look at the Bills in the wild card. I didn't think the Chargers would be 2-4. The Chargers were like a fancy pick in the postseason last year. They had finished out the season strong. They were playing very well, and people were talking about them as making a run, and this year we're going to be a threat to challenge Kansas City in the division, and they're 2-4. And, home games for them are basically road games for them. I mean, it looked like one whole side of the stadium last night had gold pom-poms were Steelers fans. It was incredible to watch. Anyway, so yeah, all in all, it was a good day. It was a good day because the Bills, there's a little more separation from some teams that we thought were going to be in the wild card chase at all at the end of the season, and they're falling out right now.
And tonight, Packers-Lions, not really much to invest in there.
No.
Not the Bills don't play either of these teams.
Yeah.
They're, of course, in the NFC. I'm trying to think if they've played anybody that you want to get a look at, like who the Packers, any of the Bills' opponents. Carefree, stress-free Monday nighter.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a good...
it's a good test of two...
Detroit played Philly, right? I think the Lions maybe beat the Eagles, right?
These two teams have improved defenses.
Yeah.
The Lions and the Packers, you might not... I mean, we probably don't think about them as having good defense in the last, decade. But they both have improved how they play on that side of the ball, so I guess that's your storyline.
It's a big game in that division, too. You know, I mean, Green Bay's leading the division, but Minnesota is now 4-2, and Detroit is 2-1-1 with the crazy tie. So that's a big game in that division, even though we're not going to worry about it from an AFC standpoint. It is Bills Football Monday. Yeah, we still get to talk football. I bet you spent some time yesterday checking out the other games, checking out what was happening in the AFC. We can talk about that. We can talk about whatever you saw from the games yesterday. You want to bring up some Bills stuff, we can get into that since they get back to work today.
Did you stay up for the Yankees?
I looked in on the game a little bit. I stayed up for the first half of Steelers-Chargers because I did want to see how both those teams looked. And I got to tell this early wine, can they please stop calling him Duck? The guy's name is Devlin. I don't know. It was making me crazy.
Duck Hodges?
Collinsworth and Michaels refused to call him by his real first name. Everything was Duck, and it was making me nuts. Just stupid things that make me crazy. I checked
It's a grade A nickname.
It's a great nickname, but when did announcers start calling guys by nicknames all the time on NFL games? Who else?
Well, I mean, it depends
There might be an occasional Shady McCoy reference.
Sure. I mean, it depends. There's nickname, and then there's... I got to find out all this. He's not exactly Tiger Woods, right?
No. I just thought, Duck. I mean, it's a great nickname. I get it. Duck calls, all that stuff. Just the guy's name is Devlin. Can you please call him Devlin? Anyway.
They started calling him Duck at training camp.
Yeah. Oh, no, everybody calls him that. And I understand the storyline. It was annoying me that they kept referring to him in the broadcast.
I'm Team Duck here.
No,
I like Duck Hodges.
I do not want to hear Duck. I checked out the game a little bit just because it was, you know, it was Verlander. I wanted to see Verlander pitch against that lineup. But, yeah, I knew that game was going to end after probably 11 o'clock. So I bailed on that one and watched mostly football. So let's open up our phone lines this morning. Football fans, you don't get to take Monday off just because the Bills didn't play yesterday. And the Sabres won over the weekend, too. They're off to their best start in 10 years. We'll talk some hockey this morning. Actually, Ralph Krueger is going to be with us at 9 o'clock this morning on our show. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Bills fans, let's talk football this morning, and we'll open it up to whatever is on your football mind. Football Monday on WGR, brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
A lot of Bills teams in the past would say, we lost to the Patriots, we're going into Tennessee, and they just are coming off a win. They beat the snot out of the Titans, in the trenches, too. And, you know, Jordan Phillips had 3 sacks, does so, has some things to say about Taylor Lewan after the game. This Bills team has some swagger, and to me, getting that win off of the loss where everyone fled off their bandwagon tells me more about this team than maybe even their first 3 victories of the season.
That was Peter Schrager on NFL Network's Good Morning Football. The Bills back to work today, getting ready to take on the Miami Dolphins. So around the league yesterday, Houston and Kansas City, big game at Arrowhead, and the Chiefs lose at home for the second straight week. 31-24, Deshaun Watson had 1 touchdown, I should say, 280 yards passing. Both of those teams are 4-2. The Browns dropped to 2-4. They lost at home to Seattle, 32-28. Baker Mayfield had a touchdown and 3 interceptions. The Ravens are 4-2. They beat Cincinnati 23-17. Big day for Lamar Jackson. The Jets get in the win column. Sam Darnold returns, throws for 338 and a couple of scores in the win over the Cowboys. Dallas has lost 3 straight after a 3-0 start. What else? New Orleans is 5-1. They beat Jacksonville. The Niners are 5-0 for the first time since 1990. And they beat the Rams 20-7. The Rams are at 500. If you didn't stay up last night for Sunday Night Football, Pittsburgh beat the Chargers 24-17, had a 21-0 lead at halftime, I believe it was, and then held on in the second half. The Chargers dropped to 2-4. The Monday night matchup is Detroit and Green Bay. Astros get a Carlos Correa home run in the 11th inning and beat the Yankees 3-2. The ALCS is tied at 1. The NLCS continues tonight in Washington. The Nats lead that series 2-0. The Sabres play Dallas this afternoon. A little matinee action at KeyBank Center. Buffalo 4-0-1. It is a 3 o'clock game, and it will start at 2 o'clock with the pregame show, or our coverage starts at 2 o'clock, I should say, with the pregame show here on WGR. The Sabres recalled Curtis Lazar. They were down an extra forward since Connor Sherry was moved to week-to-week on injury status. And your new AP Top 5 college football, Bama stays at the top. LSU all the way up to number 2. Clemson, Ohio State, and Oklahoma round out your top 5. Those are your headlines. The next update coming up at 7 o'clock.
3 o'clock face-off today with the Dallas Stars.
Perfect time. Get a little nap in, wake up, watch the hockey game. Hockey game's done, have dinner. 3 o'clock is a perfect start time, so thank you for doing that.
When are we talking to Ralph Krueger?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. Question. Why does Rasmus Dahlin not play the final 8 minutes of a game?
Yeah, and he's done it with Olofsson the last couple games, too. Olofsson I didn't check the actual ice time and how many shifts he would have gotten, but for sure against, what was the game before? Was Montreal?
Yes.
Before Florida? The Montreal game, and I thought that maybe that was more about some D-zone coverage breakdowns, but again, I thought against Florida, you didn't see Olofsson on the Eichel line later in the game. It might have been VC.
He's whatever. Done that a bunch, yeah. Which, okay. I mean, I wonder about taking Olofsson off that line full time.
And then he played him in overtime. He put him back out there in 3-on-3, but he wasn't playing him at 5-on-5 late.
It is two games in a row blowing third period leads of two goals while trusting the guys with experience over the guys that might be better.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, a couple, just the two. Yeah. I mean, Dahlin, I don't know if Dahlin sat out the end of the Montreal game. I don't think he did, but I'd have to go back and check the stats.
They look like they go into a shell.
Yeah, I didn't. It's funny. I didn't think it was as bad. It wasn't as bad against the Canadiens. It was obvious against the Panthers.
It was very bad.
What was the third period? 17-5. I mean, it was, hey, Linus, go ahead, buddy.
Good luck.
We're not really going to do much in front of you. You go ahead. And I thought, you know, against Pittsburgh and New Jersey, they played a little better with the lead. And it wasn't as bad against the Canadiens, but against Florida, it sure looked like it. The plan was, we're up two, let's chill. And they got play taken to them in the third period and ended up. It's funny. I was thinking about you. The tying goal scores in a sequence that included Johan Larsson breaking a stick and not going to the bench to get a stick. And as it turns if he had a stick, he would have been able to clear the puck out of the zone and prevent the game tying goal.
And in that period, it's the short skate
that's
to
the
a stick.
They're right at
he's
that
right
bench.
There.
Right.
Go get that stick.
Now they're playing. He's on the left forward side, so they're keeping the puck at the right point because you're going to want the guy. You know, and it's. Was it 6-on-4 or 6-on-5? Were they killing a penalty late too? I can't remember.
No, it was just 6-on-5.
So you're going to want to keep the puck near the guy without a stick, but you're right there by the Sabres bench. Either hop off and get somebody else on or get your stick because as it turns out, I think it was Ristolainen was able to poke the puck up the left side boards. And if Johan Larsson has a stick, he throws it right out of the zone.
Ristolainen was not able to poke it far enough.
Right, but it was there for Larsson to hit it if he had a stick.
And there was one moment where Ristolainen had the puck on his stick and had lots of time and didn't clear, like in the final 90 seconds, somewhere in there. But anyway,
I just kept
they're 4-0-1, so you can only complain so much. I would just like to say that Joki Haru is fantastic. Not just with, he made a breakout pass to, who was that? Was that Middlestat maybe who had a breakaway? Somebody. And it's not just that pass. Colin Miller, they've got a couple defensemen that do things that are nice, smart plays. Mm-hmm. Joki Haru, there was one play on.
It was Middlestat. He caught him in stride in
breakaway.
The first period.
So there's that pass, which makes all the highlights. There's other stuff. There's one play where he comes off the bench as the Panthers are coming through the neutral zone, and he just skates into a space to apply pressure to break up the Panthers' breakout, and little plays like that, you know, how do you prevent them from getting the puck into your end and having possession, and how do you maintain it? That's what your job is as a defenseman, and so far, I think Joki Haru is pretty nice.
Well, Chris Johnston, didn't you see the note he had from Sportsnet, apparently Saturday night, and he actually wrote an article, like a Hockey Tidbits article, and in it, he mentioned that Jason Botchel went to both Joki Haru and Victor Olofsson said, guys, go find a place to live in Buffalo. You're not going anywhere for a while.
Good.
So I know there was some concern that when Montour's healthy, what are they doing? And Joki Haru could go down to Rochester without having to go through waivers, but apparently he and Olofsson have both been told you're staying put. So don't worry about Rochester, which is good. Yeah, I think the kid has earned – I think Joki Haru has earned the – very quickly earned the trust of the coaching staff. And he has been a perfect addition to what this team needed. So I'm very happy. I know they didn't play a good third period, but hey, Ullmark on the other side, Ullmark has had two really good starts at the start of the season. And they won a game without leaning on their power play because Bobrovsky kept that power play off the board. He was phenomenal.
He was incredible.
Yeah, I guess he was a little angry after getting pulled their previous game because he was fantastic. They had chance after chance after chance. It was nice to see the Larsson line get rewarded with points. They'd been playing so well, generating chances, you know, dominating play in the offensive zone, but they just had not been able to produce goals. That line was on the ice, produced a couple goals the other night. So I felt good for those guys. And boy, Middlestat shootout winner was a thing of beauty. So bring on two more points, thankfully. Mm-hmm. I'll take it. And, you know, again, if you're going to, you know, we've been talking about the Sabres, if they're going to contend and be in the playoff chase and try and be in the wild card mix, you got to beat out teams like Florida and Montreal. Now, you gave them both a point by blowing two goal leads, but you got to beat those two teams. So they got wins over the Canadiens and the Panthers on this homestand. Well, that's a good thing in terms of what this team's doing going forward.
Dallas. What's Dallas? They're supposed to be good. They got off to a little bit of a slow start.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, they should be one of the, I think they're considered one of the contenders in terms of the Stanley Cup in a very difficult Western Conference. But it'd be nice. Nice to close out, if you could close out the homestand with a win and get a couple more points before you go out to a West Coast trip. Anaheim's off to a good start. L.A., not so much. San Jose was off to a horrible start. I didn't see what they did over the weekend. I know they got their first win of the season last week. Marlowe joined them, and they had a good game last week. But, you know, West Coast trips are always tough, so it'd be nice to get a couple more points before they head out west. We will have the game for you this afternoon at 3 o'clock here on WGR. And if you want to talk, it is Bills Football Monday, and we're talking about the conference and the games that played out yesterday and the standings in the AFC and all that fun stuff. But, you know, you can always talk about the Sabres, too, because they got a nice win the other day on a game when they didn't particularly play 60 minutes. They still found a way to win the hockey game and got it done in exciting shootout fashion over the Florida Panthers. What else did you notice from yesterday? I'll tell you one thing that I noticed without having the stress of a Bills game and just watching Red Zone Channel. It's a lot of penalties in this league.
There was a stretch in the Falcons.
Oh, I was going to. Did you just see the Dallas Jets game at all?
Yeah.
I'll bring up my.
I was actually watching NFL Network, and they were going through the highlights. And on the drive where the Cowboys almost tied the game, they ultimately fall short. They got down to like the 10.
Yep.
And going through the highlights, it was Chris Rose who said, seven plays later, there were a series of penalties on each side back and forth. It was really a mess. Mm-hmm. Seven plays later.
There were flags on six consecutive plays.
Yeah, in the Atlanta-Arizona game, there were five in a row.
It's ridiculous. Four on the Jets, all I think maybe three were pass interference, one was holding, doesn't matter. Four on the Jets, two on the Cowboys, six flags, not the amusement park, on consecutive plays in the fourth quarter, and you just, guys, what are you doing? Let the game play. You're not here to be flag happy. You're not here to throw. I mean, it's just nauseating every single play to watch a flag go down. And a couple of them were a little ticky-tacky in terms of the calls on the Jets. And it's automatic first downs. Yeah, you know, it's still an issue in terms of roughing the passer is still being called too frequently. Holding is still being called too frequently. And nobody's winning pass interference challenges. And there was another moment yesterday where you thought, did they just make that rule up? What are they talking about? There was a play in the Kansas City game that should have been pass interference, and I believe they even threw the flag and then picked it up and said there wasn't because the guy who was interfered with wasn't the intended target. What?
All right.
I didn't know. I thought you could still be interfered with, but you weren't the So watching officiating yesterday was just, these guys are, it's bad. It's just too many flags and too many crazy calls and stuff where they're making stuff up. And did you know about the free kick field goal rule?
Probably. That's where you fair catch a punt. You can free kick field goal from that spot.
Yeah, I didn't remember that. The Panthers did that yesterday.
I didn't see that done.
Yeah, they did it. They fair caught the ball with 1 second left.
At what yard line?
Oh, it was a 60-something yard field goal. So maybe at the
62.
62?
Yeah.
40-whatever yard line of the Bucks. 1 second left, fair catch. They brought out the field goal team, and it's a free kick. You can't rush it. So you put the ball on a tee, I assume it was on a tee, on whatever yard line it would have been, and they had a free kick.
Not only can you do that, you can do that if there's no time left.
Oh, I didn't? Really?
It's untimed down? Yes. Yes. So they did it with 1 second left?
1 second left.
Okay, if there were no time left, it would have been allowed also.
Okay, smart play. I thought, really? Free kick field goal. And it was 60-something yards. He missed. But I just thought, yeah, that's smart. Way to use your head there, Ron Rivera. Things that you didn't know were on the actual NFL rulebook that you saw yesterday. 803-0550 to join us. It is Bills Football Monday here on WGR, and you can share your thoughts. And what games did you watch yesterday? What did you see? Maybe you watched the Browns game. Maybe you're doing a little scouting, watching Bills opponents. You can give us your thoughts on the standings and what you're thinking about in terms of playoffs, wild card spot, and the race in the AFC. You can share your comments on the Sabres, too. Make sure you go to WGR550.com. Get in on a chance to win a Thursday night football viewing party for you and nine of your friends at Fat Bob's Smokehouse, including two drink tickets, an appetizer buffet, and other great prizes. Fat Bob's Smokehouse, delicious barbecue, award-winning mac and cheese, 22 beers on tap, 41 Virginia Place in Buffalo. Enter now through Sunday at WGR550.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor.
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From scoring between 20 and 30 points a game, the defense, like we saw with the Chicago Bears last year and a few other teams, and certainly what the Patriots are doing, that if you have a good defense in today's NFL that clearly can stop teams from scoring between 20 and 30 points a game, you can win games in this league. And they're doing it with good defensive line play, great linebacker play, and great secondary play. So they are, to me, one of the most complete teams in the AFC.
That is Chris Trapasso from CBSSports.com. He was on with Bulldog the other day. If you missed the interview, it is available in on-demand audio at WGR550.com. We will be talking football today with Sal Capaccio. He's going to join us at 7 o'clock, and Bills Football Monday will include an extra point show. Sal will have that for you from 10 to noon. We will also be chatting with John Murphy for his regular Bills Football Monday segment with us around 8:30, and we'll hear from Sabres coach Ralph Krueger. Normally, he's on with us on Wednesdays, but we didn't want to necessarily wake him up at 5 o'clock in the morning in California on Wednesday. So he's coming on with us this morning at 9, and we'll talk a little bit about their 4-0-1 start and their afternoon game today against the Dallas Stars. But we want to hear from you. What did you do yesterday? You had to watch some football, huh? What games did you watch? What caught your interest? What did you see from yesterday? How did anything that you saw yesterday impact your thoughts on the Bills' playoff chances? They're in really good shape in the AFC standings. They're in the 5 spot. They're 4-1. The only other team with fewer losses than the Bills, with one or no losses, is New England at 6-0. Everybody else in the conference has at least two, and half the conference is at least 3 games back of the Bills in the loss column with a 4 losses or worse. So, knock on wood, things are playing out extremely well. And as you probably remember, the Dolphins are in town on Sunday. Josh Rosen's already been named the starter once again for Sunday's game for the Dolphins. And the Bills are favored by 16.5 points.
So when Brian Flores said he's our starter for the rest of the season, he meant starter.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know why he would say that.
Oh, he could still be pulled.
Yeah,
but he's
going to
start all the games.
Yeah. So he said after the game yesterday, because Rosen was pulled and was very, well, bad, that he said after the game he's still going to start against the Bills. Great. So, I mean, they should be able to beat Miami without breaking much of a sweat and move to 5-1. The homestand looks extremely good. The Eagles lost yesterday. That would look to be the toughest game on the 3-game homestand. But again, they just gave up 38 to what was a struggling Vikings passing offense. Stephon Diggs had a big day. Kirk Cousins had a big day. And the Eagles having issues in the secondary. So we're looking at a really good 3-game homestand coming up here.
Speaking of defense, stat of the day. I'll give it to you here on not a good defense, but a bad defense. Next Gen Stats track they track all the games, but Atlanta and Arizona.
Yeah.
Atlanta's 1-5. They lose on a missed extra point.
Yeah, poor Matt Bryant.
And poor Matt Ryan also. He threw 4 touchdowns, and he was a monster and lost. But here's the stat for the Atlanta defense. Kyler Murray, 3-for-4 on deep balls, 118 yards on those on deep attempts. Hmm. The Falcons, there were 37 plays that Kyler Murray dropped back to pass, 37. How many plays did they generate a quarterback pressure on?
4.
0.
Okay, well, that's not a good number.
The most plays without a pressure since 2016, which might be when Next Gen Stats started tracking this. 37 dropbacks, they didn't get pressure on them one time.
Get a whiff of the guy at some point. That's not good.
Now, I mean, I didn't see a ton of the game, of that one, just a tiny bit.
Saw a little bit on red zone.
Yeah, I wonder how much of that is Kingsbury's design, because they play so much spread and air raid that it can be tough. Your quarterback doesn't hang in the pocket too long.
Right.
But you would think one.
Yeah. At some point, you'd like to get some kind of pressure.
0 pressures.
Yeah, it's a nice win for Murray and their offense developing. Granted, Atlanta's in Dan Quinn can't survive much longer. I can't believe this guy's going to, have it. They give up 34 points to what was an offense that's trying to find itself. And now Atlanta's 1-5. I know the owner gave me the old vote of confidence last week, but I can't believe he's long for the world at this point. 803-0550 to join us this morning. Craig in Rochester, welcome to Bills Football Monday on WGR. Go right ahead.
Morning, guys. Yesterday was one of those great days where the NFL started at 9:30, so I watched football from 9:30 until the last game because it was fun. My biggest takeaway from the NFL was, and it made me feel good as a Bills fan, is I don't think there's anyone that is a light year ahead of the Bills in the AFC. And even in general, I think the Bills, it's a weird feeling, but we could go toe-to-toe with anyone. It doesn't mean they will win those games, but you know, I feel pretty good about it. You know, that Cleveland game I thought would have been a loss, and I feel better about Allen because I watched Mayfield, and I think he still will be fine, but that guy is off. That offense is off, and I don't know what's going on there, but I certainly feel better about that matchup after seeing them play, you know, and that's a good Seattle team, but I thought they would have been better than this, so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much Freddie Kitchens can, how long he lasts. It has not gone exceedingly well. Their defense still might be their biggest problem. That defense was good last year.
Yeah.
And
when they had Greg Williams, right? And then he left. And
well, we'll see. We'll see about them. With Mayfield, you know, it is funny because when you put the target on your back, even if you don't put it on your back in a given week, people will come put it on you anyway.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Right? And that's a point that people have made. Mayfield, when the Browns lose a game, it's calamity.
The guys on the Fox postgame show were all talking about how Mayfield's got to be humbled. And I thought, he doesn't have to be humbled. I mean, it just, I don't think Baker Mayfield has a big head, and that's why they're 2-4. I think they've got issues beyond that.
He had a big head when they won the Heisman Trophy. Yeah. Yeah. Or when he won the Heisman Trophy. Yeah. He had a big head last year when he threw 28 touchdowns.
Yep.
So, and this is what I always say. It only matters if you win, right? Or that you win.
But when you're losing, it's
when
the
you're losing,
for sure.
It piles on because you're losing. Yep. And they'll probably lose to the Patriots. That Bills game will be a big one. But who's in? Denver's
play,
in there?
Did they play Baltimore yet, or did they play
They
them
played
already?
Them once and beat them.
Okay.
So, yeah, they're interesting. There's no doubt about it. They're interesting.
It is Bills Football Monday. Well, from what you saw yesterday, how did it affect what you're thinking about the Bills and their playoff chances? And we can talk about the games you saw yesterday and get some comments in on that. Sal's going to join us in a moment, 803-0550-WGR.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.